Hello, Houston. A very happy Monday to you. It is Monday of the sixth week of Easter. It is May 11th in the year of our Lord 2026. It is a big week for the church. This Thursday is the Solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord. The day commemorates Jesus' bodily ascension into heaven, occurring 40 days after Easter. It's always on a Thursday in the sixth week of Easter, but this date, of course, comes from the book of Acts, when Jesus says it appears to the apostles for 40 days before ascending to heaven. Now, in most American dioceses, including ours locally, you do not have to go to Mass this Thursday, not considered a holy day of obligation, but instead the celebration is moved to the seventh Sunday of Easter, this upcoming Sunday, and for this reason is now often referred to as Ascension Sunday. Also, a very happy Mother's Day this past Sunday to all the mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers out there. May is also the month of Mary, so we'll be sure to ask our Heavenly Mother's intercession, as we always do on this program, coming up in just a moment. But first, let's bring you up to speed. You are listening to Catholic Lunch Break. This is the weekly program, of course, where we catch up with all things Catholic locally here across the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsby, the executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. Here's what's on the program, Catholic Lunch Break, for today. We're going to be talking about discerning the vocation of marriage. We'll hear from Joseph Mastrangelo, owner of Zelly Beans Coffee, and he's a parishioner at St. Teresa's in Sugarland. Now, Joseph is gearing up for a talk to young people later this month about discerning the vocation of marriage. So my colleague, Zach Allen, here at the radio station, will talk with him all about how two people in a marriage can help each other become saints. Also on this program, we'll air part of an extended interview with Father Preston Quintella. My colleague, David Magianis, with the help of UST Mac Studios, spoke with Father Preston Quintella all about the history of the annual Priests versus Seminarians basketball game and how it helps promote vocations to the priesthood and religious life. You may remember this past April, they had their ninth annual Priests versus Seminarians basketball game, which was a big success. So we're going to air a good portion of that previous interview today and tell you how you can listen to the rest of that interview with Father Preston from YouTube. Again, as I mentioned before, though, May is dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, honoring her role as Mother of God and spiritual mother to all Christians. So before we do anything else, air any of those interviews, everything else, we want to begin in prayer. So if you join me now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. A very happy birthday to a friend of this radio station, Father Richard Hinckley. Father Richard Hinckley is the Dean of the School of Theology and Spiritual Formation Coordinator at St. Mary's Seminary in Houston. Father Richard has been on this program before, talking about the formation process for those entering the priesthood. He was recently honored by the Dominican Sisters of Mary Immaculate Province during their East Meets West Gala. Father Richard Hinckley, on the regular, celebrates Mass at St. Catherine's Convent in Houston. So again, happy birthday to Father Richard Hinckley. A special thanks to St. Anthony of Padua Catholic Church in the Woodlands. My colleague Zach Allen was encouraging me today to attend a men's Acts retreat after he attended one this past weekend. They had a pretty big group this past Thursday night and into Sunday morning. More than 50 men were on the retreat team, plus 47 men retreatants. Father Jesse, the pastor at St. Anthony of Padua, was able to spend some time with some of those on retreat as well as celebrate the Mass. Zach says if you have not attended an Acts retreat, then you should consider it in the future. Zach adds that it's a great way to grow closer to Christ and his church. Heads up to St. Mary of the Miraculous Medal in Texas City. I'm coming to see you this upcoming Sunday, May 17th. My thanks to their pastor at St. Mary of the Miraculous Medal, Father Clint Ressler, for allowing me to come set up a table this upcoming Sunday morning at the church, where I will get the word out about our radio station and our ministry. Zach and I get out to the weekends to churches across the greater Houston area to let people know about the work that we are doing as part of this nonprofit, passing out prayer cards and bumper stickers, etc., if you haven't seen this before. So if you're going to Mass this Sunday morning at St. Mary of the Miraculous Medal in Texas City, I'll see you there. Zach, in the meantime, will be at St. Jerome in Houston this upcoming weekend. So if you attend Mass at St. Jerome in Houston, stop by Zach's table and say hello. A big thank you to their pastor, Father Jonathan Morey, who we've had here on the program as well. Fullness of Truth is hosting its Summer Catholic Family Conference, June the 5th through the 7th. The Catholic Culture Revival 3.0 will be held at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Round Rock, Texas. Conference speakers include Father Chad Ripperger, Kyle Clement, Jennifer Baugh, and Jesse Romero. There will also be a Saturday youth track and family-friendly activities. There's even a comedy show with Catholic convert Shane Smith. Conference registration and hotel information can be found on their website, fullnessoftruth.org. That's fullnessoftruth.org. We also thank Fullness of Truth for being a sponsor underwriter of this radio station as well. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the sacrament of marriage. Joseph Mastrangelo will preview his talk for the next Cafe Catholica Light to young adults, discussing how married couples have a shared goal of helping each other become saints. Stay with us. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break on AM 1430.
Hi, I'm Adam Bly, here with Debbie Giorgiani from The Spirit World.
There have been so many miraculous apparitions, mystical experiences, and revelations of God's truth to saints and others throughout the centuries. It can be rather overwhelming.
What should we do with these private revelations in our own spiritual lives? How do we tell the real ones from the fake ones?
Call us with your questions live on The Spirit World this Saturday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern.
During May, the month of Mary, you are invited to help a single mom by making a gift to honor the Blessed Virgin and your own mother. Your gift to Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston provides formula, diapers, and other necessities to a family in need. You can help a struggling mother and be a blessing to her baby. Learn more and how at CatholicCharities.org. That's CatholicCharities.org.
Even if you believe God has a plan for your future, it can be challenging to figure it out. Most people experience uncertainty, doubt, fear when searching for their vocation. Hi, my name is Father Richard McNeely, and I'm the Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston. I want to help you hear God's voice and discern God's will for your life. Contact me at HoustonVocations.com for spiritual direction and guidance as you discern your vocation in life. Again, visit HoustonVocations.com and get in contact with God.
Have you taken account of your spiritual life lately? Hopefully listening to the GRN helps you do that. Joel Matthews here, partner with Turlington & Matthews. We're located in Katy, Texas, and we are proud supporters of KSHJ AM 1430. As certified public accountants, we provide comprehensive financial services to individuals, small and medium-sized businesses, and other agencies. Our website is www.tmcpafirm.com. That's www.tmcpafirm.com. May God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsby, executive director of this radio station, KSHJ. We on the Guadalupe Radio Network frequently discuss how we can promote holy vocations. Now, most of the time, that's in the context of praying for an increase in vocations to the priesthood and religious life, which we definitely need. But of course, we don't want to forget about praying for those discerning the vocation of marriage. Many of the church have or are discerning that kind of vocation. In fact, it's the topic of a talk at Mary Queen in Friendswood coming up May 21st for an event called Cafe Catholica Light. Joseph Mastrangelo will talk about his faith, his marriage, and how we can discern the vocation God is calling us to. Joseph recently sat down with KSHJ General Manager Zach Allen to talk all about that and about how his faith has inspired his work as a business owner.
Hi, you're listening to Catholic Lunch Break on the Guadalupe Radio Network, and I am Zach Allen, the General Manager of the Houston stations for the Guadalupe Radio Network, and I am joined by Mr. Joseph Mastrangelo. He is a local parishioner, business owner, and Catholic husband and father, and we are here to talk about an upcoming event, Cafe Catholica Light, which will be on May 21st from 7 to 8:45 at Mary Queen Parish in Friendswood, and all the young adults across the Archdiocese are invited to attend, as he's going to be giving a talk on discerning marriage, which everyone should be discerning up until they know what they're called to and their vocation, they should be discerning. So, Joseph, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here in the studio. We're going to talk a little bit later in the interview about your company, Zaley Beans Coffee. We'll talk a little bit about that. I'm very much looking forward to tasting the coffee that you brought into the studio today. But also, looking ahead to this event, what are you looking forward to for the Cafe Católica?
So I was I grew up in the diocese. I grew up in Tomball. I grew up and going participating in a lot of the young adult events. Prior to and while like prior to entering seminary, I discerned like seminary. Dawson, I was Dawson Seminary for the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston. Cool. And so I participated in the Cafe Catholicas before they even had the light version. And then I just know how beneficial these events can be for the young people in the diocese trying to find their way, looking for truth in the midst of chaos in their lives and starting their lives as outside their family's homes and trying to learn what it means for them to live their Catholic faith every day. So I know how important these events can be for the young adults in their archdiocese. So I'm really excited just to be one small part in that.
Yeah, you're right. These events are really great because, I mean, young adults are, I think, really challenged in the world today to find truth. You mentioned that. And these gatherings give them an opportunity to see they're not the only one out there seeking truth in that young adult, you know, group in society. I mean, whether they're married or not married or, you know, just starting out of work or maybe they're in college still, they can all get something from these gatherings. And I think that's the special thing. And our archdiocese is blessed to be able to offer a lot of options for them. You mentioned they had the Cafe Católica. Now they have the lights kind of throughout the year. They have opportunities to get together.
Yes. So I know that this is Cafe Católica has been around the diocese for quite a while now. I don't know exactly when Angie with the archdiocese, she'd probably be able to give you more details of when they started doing the Cafe Católica light versions, which meant to gather young adults at different parishes, not just centrally, but at different areas. So the one I'll be doing on the 21st is Mary Queen. And I know they've done some other ones at different parts in the diocese, different areas. So it definitely helps to continue what they experience in the larger gatherings during the summer, but just slightly smaller at like in the peripheries of the diocese. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, and could you mention, I forgot to mention at the beginning, but where does your family go to Mass?
So we're located in Sugar Land.
Okay.
And we are parishioners at St. Teresa's there in Sugar Land. Yeah. Our daughters go to the school there at St. Teresa's. We have four daughters, so three of them go there. The youngest is still too young to go there yet. But we've been parishioners there since 2014, 15, when I used to be a youth minister in the diocese, and we moved there when Father Reynolds was a pastor, and he hired me to do youth ministry there. So we've been parishioners there for a long time. Very vibrant, very beautiful parish life and school life.
Yeah, it's a great church over there. They have a beautiful choir. Lots of kids involved with altar serving, singing the choir. Lots of great community. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. If you're out there and you haven't been to St. Teresa's in Sugar Land, you should try it out on Sunday morning. So, have you ever been out to Mary Queen before?
It's been a minute, as the kids used to say.
And sometimes they still do, I think. But, yeah, Mary Queen's a beautiful church, too. Yeah. So, definitely, if you're out there and you're listening, whether you're a young adult and you might want to come to this event, or if you know a young adult, and again, I think they advertise it's like 18 to 39. If you're around, you know, in that vicinity there, check it out. Maybe you have college age children or grandchildren, maybe somebody in your life that you work with. Definitely encourage them. I mean, these are opportunities to make, you know, new acquaintances, new friends, new people to walk through this journey with. And so, great opportunity. But Joseph, what do you do to prepare to give a talk on discerning marriage? I mean, you mentioned, you know, you went into the seminary, so you're discerning the Dawson priesthood. Clearly, you know, you didn't finish that. You started to discern marriage. Now you're married with children. So I think you're in a unique position to give a talk on discernment.
Yeah. So discernment for me is a very important part about being a Catholic Christian. Like discernment needs to be something that's integrated in our everyday life, in our hearts, in our minds, in our everyday life, I think, as Catholics. And then when we're like, and part of discernment is just having a deep seated, beautiful relationship with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Mm. And I think especially the Holy Spirit, understanding the gifts of the Holy Spirit and understanding like the right judgment and understanding, like the understanding, courage, fortitude, having these, having the Holy Spirit a part of our lives is very important. And with everyday discernment, but then especially when we're going through discerning, major life choices, major life changes, especially if we're discerning vocation, and one of the biggest things I like to make sure we understand is discernment is not about choosing the right against the wrong. Discernment is choosing between two goods. Like we're choosing between two goods. Like it's God's, and God gives us free will with our choices. And God will bless us when we choose a good, and he is going to continue to bless that. So I think first and foremost, I think with discernment, we're not trying to like choosing between good and evil is just morality and choosing like a moral life, a right life. Like choosing between two goods is inviting God into that choice to help us to be fruitful in that choice and continue to follow through with it and be like with that. Like it's like I said, I discerned priesthood with the diocesan priesthood. I was in diocesan seminary for the archdiocese for 3.5 years. I discerned out, realizing that wasn't what God was calling me in that moment. I actually discerned next with the Salesians of Don Bosco, a religious order founded by St. John Bosco. I love the Salesians and I love St. John Bosco. Huge influence in my life. Discerned, spent a year with them trying to figure out. But then one of other parts of discernment, especially vocation, it's not discerned in isolation. We don't discern stuff by ourselves. We're discerning with the other. In diocesan seminary, you're discerning with the local diocese, the church. Mm-hmm. And that discernment happens between you, the seminary, the faculty, the bishop, and local church. Even at the point of ordination, like many people may not realize this, before getting ordained, the diocese puts like letters out and puts stuff out within like the parishes that the seminarian, future to be ordained, like is, are there any quote unquote objections, any concerns or anything?
Similar it's, to in a wedding ceremony where they might ask.
Yeah, we don't really do that. We don't really do, yeah, in movies. We don't really do that in Catholic Church. Right. It's not about that. Like, because the, because within marriage, the discernment is not between the church and the individual. It's between the two individuals.
Right.
And once again, it's not in isolation.
Exactly.
It's between the two and God and bringing God into that. And what does that discernment look like in marriage? I think is, something that's lost out with young adults. I mean, and especially with marriage, because discerning marriage is becoming a very, I'm seeing more and more emphasis on it, thank God, within social media, Instagram, TikTok, and there's some interesting stuff out there. It's really good stuff. And I did see something recently talking where there was a comment made that this priest didn't believe in discerning marriage because marriage is a natural, it's a natural state. We're all, like his thing is we're all made for marriage. We're all married for this. And that's true. But I think there's a nuance that's like, if you're discerning marriage in a Catholic church, it's not no more, it's no more about the natural state of marriage. It's about the supernatural state of the sacrament of marriage. And what does that mean? Because the sacrament of marriage is calling, it's the, there to give us graces to become, holy. And become and prepare us for heaven in the and for to be with God in eternal glory, and that's the discernment part of it is like the you're discerning with the other like are we together going to be able to fulfill this hope, this supernatural hope for the other to get us to heaven, to get each other to heaven, and then will our fruits our children, will we be there for them to raise them and create in them saints?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like several things that you mentioned there as far as discernment, because A, when you compared the diocesan priest to discernment to you discerning with the bishop, with the diocesan, with the diocese, right? The council, everybody involved with that. Versus when you're discerning marriage, you're still discerning with another person. Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. You cannot discern your vocation alone in
no.
the case
yeah.
in the Catholic Church. And so that's awesome to kind of think of that through. I mean, God is always calling us into community, into whichever vocation that we're called to. It's interesting how you mentioned that about we're all made for marriage, because that it seems like a natural thought, but at the same time, you know, I think we all have known young people that we knew from a young age, like we could tell that maybe they were called to the priesthood or they were called to religious life. So I think you can see these gifts in people at a younger age too. And so I think that's, you know, it's just great that the church offers different life choices.
Well, if you look at, I'm a big fan of St. John Paul II mm-hmm. and his theology of the body.
Right.
And if you've ever studied the theology of the body, you recognize the first half of it has very little to do about the intimacy act. It's just about looking at like how God made us man and woman, and how he created us and made us unique and made us for other, and all, what all that meant.
Right.
And then even before he gets into the intimacy of man and women in marriage, he talks about celibacy for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about that before he talks about marriage. And I think that's a very key point in trying to understand, before we understand marriage in the sacramental view, mm-hmm. not in the natural view, not in how the world sees it, but as the church and as Christ made it,
mm-hmm.
because he took something that was natural, that's already part of the world, and elevated it, made it supernatural.
Right.
So that's like the big key part of that.
Yeah.
And then before St. John Paul II talks about that in TOB, in Theology of the Body, he talks about continence for the kingdom and celibacy for the kingdom. And what does that mean for as a sign and withholding of something, a good for another good.
Right.
That could be seen, that's a sign for what is to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, and that's another thing when it comes to marriage, in the sacrament of marriage, it's till death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a hard thing for a lot of married couples, because especially when we think you see these movies and stuff, and it's like till death do us part, and forever after that, and it's like, but. Theology of body is very clear, and Jesus is very clear. There is no married or unmarried in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sacrament of marriage and what marriage represents here on earth is a union that is we will experience with God,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to be a precursor
mm-hmm.
to show us what it's going to be like. This
right.
union with God. And if the sacrament marriage is discerned well, and it's a good example, and when you look at married examples, the saint examples, Louis and Zélie Martin, with their children all becoming saints and mm-hmm. being beautiful examples of what that union looks like.
Right.
And it's supposed to bring us to this greater glory with what we're going to experience in heaven.
Yeah, no, I love a lot of what you're saying, Joseph, and I think that I hope that it will be a crowded evening there on May 21st over
yes.
at Mary Queen for Cafe Catholica Light. Again, it's going to be 7 to 8:45 that evening. One thing that you're talking about with discernment, and it's just, you know, when we think about Catholic marriage versus the marriage and the culture potentially, the whole point of Catholic marriage is to prepare us for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're out there thinking about marriage, you know, you should be discerning it. You're not just looking for someone to spend time with, to hang out with, to you know, have a good time with. You're seeking a partner really to seek heaven. And whether that vocation is through marriage or through being a priest or religious, you know, whatever we're being called to in life, it is with the ultimate goal of living in beatitude with God, as you were mentioning earlier. And so that's a great invitation to the young people out there that are not married, that haven't realized their vocation yet. They don't know what God is calling them to, but keep in mind that you're looking for that option that's best going to help you get to your eternal destination, right? So, Joseph, thanks so much. And before we kind of wrap this up, I want to mention, hopefully everybody comes to the night on May 21st and hears more from you about discerning marriage. But while I've got you here, I want to ask about Zaley Beans Coffee. I know that as a local husband, father, and Catholic business owner, tell us a little bit about Zaley Beans and how it all started.
So Zaley Beans Coffee, I founded it 8 years ago as a side hustle. It has since become my full-time hustle. I source and roast coffee beans and sell coffee beans both in person and I ship all over the country. Our simple mission is families helping families through specialty coffee. I ensure that all my coffee is traceable down to the farm or collection of farms, and ensuring that the farmers and growers are being paid well for their coffee, being fulfilling our the Catholic ideals of what a business can and should be, and providing a great product that increases our joy and happiness at home with our own families. Like I love the concept and love the idea that when someone gets Zaley Beans coffee and they go home and they drink it and they enjoy it in the morning, it helps them be who God meant them to be that day. Like the enjoyment that they receive it from the coffee, and it helps them be the husband, the mother, the father, the priest, the bishop, who knows? Right. Bishop, I'd love for you to try some Zaley Beans coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you mentioned earlier just in conversation, you know, the opportunity to take something that maybe people just do out of habit or maybe out of necessity they feel like in the morning, kind of hurriedly getting a cup of coffee and turning it into an experience of joy or something that they can really look forward to, the taste that they're going to receive, being a, you know, something that you enjoy about the work you're doing, you're providing that joy for them.
It's a great experience to have people try my coffee at one point and then come back and they tell me it was, at first I thought it was like, yeah, this is good. This is, and then they go back to whatever coffee they had before and they realize, oh no, I can't do this.
I can't go back.
This is not like the joy that they experience then from a good cup of coffee that they're able to like, and the cup in itself, but the depth behind that and knowing that they're like the coffee they're buying is sourced well and doing good in the world without without gimmicks, just done well. That's all it is. And and that's, I mean, I think that's a great idea of the Catholic ideal of subsidiarity, of doing the best we can with what we have in front of us. Not every single one of us can go to where I source some of the coffees and do medical missions. Not everyone is, but we all can, like if we're buying coffee, we can get coffee that's well sourced, that's ensuring that the people in Guatemala are getting paid better for that.
Yeah, and I like one of the things you mentioned about, you know, once they taste it, they can't really go back. We've witnessed that all the time with people with the Catholic Church, right? Once they start to taste and get the fullness and the richness of the Church, it's very difficult to then return back to another brand.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. Are you saying that Zaley Beans Coffee can be sacramental?
Well, it could certainly bring you closer to the Lord.
That's my hope.
So, all right. Well, again, thank you, dear listeners. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. And I'm Zach Allen, your general manager for the Houston stations. And we're joined by Mr. Joseph, Catholic father, husband, business owner. Check out Zaley Beans Coffee and check out Cafe Catholica Light, May 21st. Mary Queen in Friendswood from 7 to 8:45 p.m. for all the young adults in your life. God bless, Joseph. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Zach Allen, thanks very much for that interview, and our thanks to Joseph as well. Coming up after the break, an interview with Father Preston Quintella about the success of the recent Priest versus Seminarians basketball game. That interview is thanks in part by UST Max Studios. Stay with us. You are listening to Catholic Lunch Break here on KSHJ AM 1430.
This is Sarah Cortez at Catholic Literary Arts, and registration is open for summer writing camp. Grades 4 through 8 in Fearless Catholic Writing Camp, grades 9 through 12 in the High School Writers Institute. Join us June 8th through 12th in Houston, Texas at the University of St. Thomas to write poetry, essay, fiction, and sacred stories. Registration is open at CatholicLiteraryArts.org, CatholicLiteraryArts.org.
Hi, Guadalupe Radio Network families. This is Ruben Rendon, attorney of Rendon & Associates. We are proud sponsors of this local Catholic radio station, AM 1430. Rendon & Associates are worker injury lawyers who are dedicated to protecting workers' rights in Houston. We provide help with workplace injury cases and can assist with understanding worker injury law. Learn more at RubenRendon.com. That's RubenRendon.com.
You want more priests? Because this is how you get more priests. Join the Sarah Club. Hi, I'm Candace Terrell, Governor of District 10 of the Sarah Club International. The mission of the Sarah Club is simply to encourage more people to discern a vocation to the priesthood or to the religious life. You can help. To learn more about joining the Sarah Club, visit Sarah10.com. That's Sarah10.com.
Southeast Houston Cardiology is a proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network and enjoys great programming such as The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarindi. Southeast Houston Cardiology has been serving patients with heart disease and vascular disease with up-to-date care. Southeast Houston Cardiology has two locations, Webster and Pasadena. You can contact them online at southeasthoustoncardiology.com or 281-338-4004. Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we talk about all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsbee, executive director of this radio station, KSHJ. The Office of Vocations for the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston is thanking local Catholics for helping and support another successful Priest versus Seminarians basketball game in April. The Seminarians won the game, but it was a close one. Prior to the game, my colleague, David Magianis, sat down with Father Preston Quintella. He's one of the original organizers of the game, and talked with him about the idea of how the game is aimed at promoting vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Father Preston is the pastor of Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Sweeney and St. John the Apostle in West Columbia. Credit to UST Mac Studios for producing this interview, which we will air right now in part.
So, Father, so there's a lot of history, with this game. And I think what I want to know, Father, I want to know all the details about how this came about, because 9 years later, it's such a huge Catholic impact in the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston. Before we get to that point, I have two questions that that I always begin with interviews. And the first one is, Father, are you a cradle Catholic?
I am a cradle Catholic.
Okay. And what parish did you attend?
I attended St. Joseph's Parish in Fort Stockton, Texas. It's about 500 miles west of here on Interstate 10.
Okay, good. And so my second question is, Father, how did you get to Houston, Texas? So I want to know all about your family and all about Fort Stockton, Texas.
Yeah, so grew up there. Mom, dad, two sisters, and went to school, played sports there, enjoyed playing football, basketball, running track and field. And I remember in high school, especially my senior year of high school, you know, I really had this desire and ambition to coach eventually college football. And so I didn't know how that was going to play out. I didn't know the path it was going to take. But as an 18-year-old kid, you know, what do you know about life at that point? I thought I had life all figured out. I'd go to college and everything would fall into place. And I did play 1 year of college football as a walk-on at Angelo State University.
And so they're playing sports, Father. So back then, you had Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
I was a part of that in Odessa, Texas. And I just know the communities of these small towns really support the local high school sports, not only football, but basketball, baseball. So do you think maybe that had a part of you kind of maybe deciding, or did you have maybe a really good coach that maybe triggered that maybe, yeah, you know what? I think I can be a good coach.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to be a good coach or what kind of coach I was going to be, but definitely the seeds were planted, you know, that God had given me particular gifts, you know, to share, to help other people. Although I didn't see it like that at the time, I just was thinking about it only from a selfish perspective. Not that it was bad, but just that this is what I want to do with my life. But I didn't realize, okay, these gifts come from God. I was so definitely the seeds were planted, you know, there in Fort Stockton about, you know, the sports journey and the importance sports would play, not just in my life, but in really the whole world. Because as you know, whether it's March Madness, the Olympics, World Cup soccer coming up this summer, the Super Bowl, whatever it might be, like sports are such an integral part of our life. And so even though I didn't see it at the time, that God was definitely planning something big for my life later on.
Yes, because I see, as today, we see these big, big events all across the world. And I just love the way that God uses some of these athletes to use that platform when they're playing and then they're interviewed. First thing they say, some of them, a lot of them now are saying, you know, I want to give praise to God. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing they say out of the interview. And I just love that aspect that athletes now are taking that responsibility.
Yes, that's very important. And I could say I was not giving praise to God at that point in my early life, not giving praise to God even when I made the football team there at Angelo State University. But seeds were still being planted. God's grace through other people, through other events was still definitely working on my life and trying to keep me on the straight and narrow path, you know, as I continued my journey day in and day out.
Yes. And so I think you had mentioned, how many years did you play football at Angelo State?
Just 1 year.
So you were there 1 year to play football, and then you stayed the remaining 3 or 4 years to graduate?
No, I took a little detour. So I was there at Angelo State University from August of 1997 through May of 1999. So I played, walked on in beginning in January of 1998, made the team, participated in the fall 1998 season. And then I really had desires and goals to at least walk on at the University of Notre Dame. But I knew I did not have the grades, so I transferred from Angelo State University to Holy Cross College, which is right across the street from Notre Dame, to try to get into the University of Notre Dame. And then my plan was to walk on, but I went up there for 2 years to Holy Cross College from 1999 through May of 2001 and did not get accepted into the University of Notre Dame. And so then I transferred out to the University of South Carolina for the fall of 2001, where Coach Lou Holtz at the time was coaching, and to try to start to get my feet on the ground regarding coaching in college football. And then came back to Angelo State University in January of 2002.
Okay.
And then finished up there in May of 2004.
All right. So a couple of detours. You came back to Angelo State. You finished. And from Angelo State, where did you go?
So after that, I finished with my undergraduate degree. And then I was trying to figure out life. Do I stay in San Angelo, start my teaching career, coaching career somehow? But then I said, no, I need to get my graduate degree. So I was looking at different programs here in the state of Texas, you know, in Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston for sports management.
Okay.
And University of Houston had that degree. And I knew one priest here. And so that was my connection. And that's why I chose Houston, at the University of Houston, to start that program. And then that's when also I began to learn more about our Catholic faith and wanted to root myself deeper into our Catholic traditions when I moved out here in August of 2004 to initially what I thought would be my teaching and eventually coaching career.
So is it safe to say that of all the places you researched, right, you picked this one particular degree, sports management, the only campus in the state of Texas was that offered that was University of Houston. And because of that, up until that point, had becoming a priest been an idea at that point yet?
No, priesthood was not even on the radar. And I believe there were a few others that had the program, but just not. If I didn't choose it, it's because I didn't know anybody in that area.
Okay.
But I knew somebody here. But also when I moved out here, priesthood was not even on the radar.
Okay. And so that's how you got to Houston. You came to University of Houston. You're a Cougar, a new place, you know, not starting your new program, graduate degree. Tell me about that starting point there.
So a few things that was happening, this interior awakening to the spiritual life and awakening my life to Christ, which was, I mean, my heart was hardened to a certain degree, open, but yet hardened by all the layers of sin prior to that point. And I said, I want to start my teaching and coaching career, but also I want to know why I was raised Catholic. So I started going on young adult retreats and started doing a lot of reading in our Catholic faith and the lives of the saints and just like, what does the church teach and why does it teach this? And, but especially about the lives of the saints. And so there began to be a dichotomy within my heart. Like this one trajectory was towards coaching and teaching, but yet a deeper reality I couldn't understand it at the time was like, why am I losing interest in coaching and teaching all of a sudden? It was a gradual process because something was happening internally that I could not, you know, pinpoint at the time, but now I can see it. So University of Houston only lasted a semester, that fall semester of 2004. And then I transferred to the University of St. Thomas here, to start, studying theology and philosophy.
Wow. And so, safe to say that you surrounded yourself with good people at U of H, and being able to go out on these retreats and stuff planted those seeds.
Yes, then that's a very good point. That's what I tell our youth today. I say, don't tell me what you're going to do on Friday and Saturday night. Tell me who you're going to hang around, and then I'll tell you what you're going to be doing on Friday and Saturday night. And so that's something that shifted when I moved out here. Is I wanted to surround myself with men and women who loved Jesus Christ, who loved our Catholic faith, had the struggles, had the sins that I was wrestling with, but who wanted to keep Christ at the center of their life. So I wanted I wanted to be in that environment. I wanted people that cared about life and cared about God, cared about going to heaven.
So Father, after that, you're at UST, you're taking some classes here. So what happens next?
At March of 2005, I start helping out with an after-school program at Rusk Elementary School at the time.
Public
school, okay. Here, inner city, HISD. And then that PE coach had left for another job. And then so I got to know the kids there. And so they hired me on as the full-time PE coach.
Okay.
Coaching boys and girls. It was a K through sixth grade at the time.
Okay.
And so, you know, kind of the impatience is starting to set in. You know, trying to figure out life and trying to figure out like, okay, God, I'm doing this. When are you going to let me know what you want me to do with my life? So I'm still going on young adult retreats. You know, at the time I'm 26 to 28. You know, I was 2 years there at Rusk Elementary School. And then also, you know, so I'm going on discernment retreats now, at the seminary, getting, to know other priests, getting to know other seminarians at the time. Friendships that I'd met are, you know, deepening and developing, and, you know, our conversations are deep, you know, about theology, about life, about Christ, about like, what is God calling us to do? And kind of also shattering my misunderstanding of vocation and discernment. So, you know, growing up, my misunderstanding was thinking that these two words only meant someone that's called to priesthood or a man or woman called to religious life, a religious order.
Right.
Like, okay, no, Preston, you're wrong, because vocation means to call, vocare, to call. And we should always be discerning, you know, sifting through the information on what is God, you know, asking of us with the information that he's giving to us. So did that for 2 years, and then applied. I really wanted to go to the Catholic schools so I could really teach and spiritually the kids that I would be entrusted to. So I applied to the Archdiocese, put my application out there. And so I got a call from the principal at St. Francis de Sales Catholic School that May of 2007.
Wow. Okay. So going from a public school, now you're going to a Catholic school. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So I started at St. Francis de Sales Catholic School in August of 2007. And so I was like a kid in a candy store. It's like, wow, I'm the PE coach and I'm coaching, you know, helping coach. I was one of the assistant girls volleyball coach and then the boys basketball coach and then helping coach track and field. And so there was an adoration chapel. I was like, okay, for PE, I mean, it was like maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks. We just go over there and like pray to our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be before our Lord. And then we'd start our activities. And then definitely with the sports teams, like I would take them, hey, we're going to go and pray. And then we're going to start the game or practice or whatever it might have been.
So the first time you did that, Father, what was the reaction?
Shocking. They were shocked. Like, coach, this is PE. that the adoration is supposed to be for religion class or coach. This is like sports. This is not. So even in their mindset, unfortunately, at a Catholic school, they had already divorced, you know, praying in their day-to-day activities. I say, no, we should be praying all the time in that sense. Like, we don't like exclude God. We don't exclude Christ from, you know, physical education class. We don't exclude Jesus Christ from playing this basketball game or this baseball game or running track and field or football game or whatever it might be. Like, we have to include Jesus Christ in every single aspect of our lives. So it was shocking for them.
You're on fire. You're already starting to become on fire. I mean, how the steps are there leading to priesthood, I think, at that time.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, obviously going back to the sports being planted in Fort Stockton, same concept with this seed being planted in Fort Stockton, but now it's just really taken root. And, you know, St. Augustine in his Confessions had this beautiful expression, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, O Lord. And finally, my heart began to rest in the Lord, you know, in prayer and surrounding myself with good friends, good people, learning about our faith. It's like only abiding in Christ will my heart be content in this side of heaven. And so I wanted to just share that joy. I wanted to share that new life. It's like only in Jesus will our hearts be satisfied this side of heaven. And so, and I mean, priesthood, again, I slowly began to be open to it. And once I went to St. Francis de Sales Catholic School, because I was finally in a cocoon, a womb that Mary could protect me and where I could hear the voice of God slowly. It was still hard. You know, those small little daily yeses, whether it's like, okay, I'm going to start going to daily mass. I'm going to start praying the rosary. I'm going to go on hanging out with these good friends. We're going to go to this talk at UST. We're going to go to this talk at Cafe Catholica, learning about our faith. And it wasn't then that I said, okay, I want to be a priest. It was like, whoa, hold on now. You know, cause there was a lot I didn't understand and it was difficult for me.
Yeah. And I safe to say, Father, that St. Francis de Sales, that was a big seed. I mean, that for all of this to happen, then for you to get somebody said yes and accepted you as the PE coach.
And that was even a funny story too. This was so May of 2007 when I was still at Rusk Elementary School, and I got a call. So they the boys PE coach there was moving on to another job, and so they needed a boys PE coach for that following year. So the principal called me, and I came right after school from Rusk Elementary School and drove over to St. Francis de Sales, just, you know, sweaty and after playing all day with the kids. And then I went over there for the interview. And so at that time I was open, a little bit open to this call to priesthood. And so in that interview with the principal and the vice principal at the time, and I'd already contacted or been in contact with the Archdiocese and the vocations office. And I told him up front, I say, look, I may only be here a year if you do hire me because I'm thinking about priesthood. And then they had reservations. I said, okay, wait, I'll give you 2 years.
Wow.
And I give my words, I'll give you, and then Providence would have it. So that was May of 2007. And what happened 2 years later is I'm applying to the seminary and I get accepted in May of 2009.
Wow. Wow. Just the chips are falling in place.
They're falling in place. Yeah.
Okay. So then, So before getting into the seminary, was there any other coaching that you had done, or you just finished out your duties there at St. Francis de Sales?
Yes.
Were you coaching at another location as well?
Yes. So like I said, I wanted to coach college football. And so kind of, again, now there's this interior struggle, a good holy struggle, I would say, of wanting to coach, but yet, okay, wanting to do God's will. So I get, well, first we are using straight Jesuits track and field, for practice for St. Francis Sales.
They're pretty close to each other.
Yeah. Within half a mile, but it's pretty close. And so we're using their track and field, and the head coach at the time, Coach Ron Counter, this was in, the spring of 2008. And he asked me if I'd like to be one of the assistant football coaches. And I said, sure. And so he invited me onto the staff and started helping out with spring practice and then helped coach over the summer. And then obviously during the fall of 2008, and we were district champs. And so everything is just pretty incredible at the time. And then that's when everything finally came to a fork in the road in the spring of 2009.
Wow. Father, when God has a plan and he gives you that opportunity and mm-hmm. you get to do it and you're kind of like, wow, that was awesome. But now you're on to your next chapter mm-hmm. and you're at that fork in the road. What happens next?
So this is March of 2009. So I'm thinking priesthood is, you know, I've got to close that chapter. God is not calling me to that life. But I remember helping out at it's called the Bayou Awakening, the Awakening Retreat, Young Adult Retreat. And even as a staff person, like that Sunday, like the power of the Holy Spirit pierced my heart so deep and was so convicted that I needed to at least apply one more time, try one more time. And so I did. I called Father Dat Wong up, the vocation director at the time.
Father Dat, yes.
Yeah. I said, Father Dat, and I'd already known him a few years at that point, so I wasn't calling him out of thin air. And so we met that Monday, and I said, I think God might be calling me to be a priest. I said, I want to start the process. And he's like, great. So he gave me all the paperwork and then went through the whole interviews and all that stuff. And in May of 2009, a month and a half later, you know, then Cardinal DiNardo, accepted me into the Archdiocese as a diocesan seminarian.
Wow.
As I was going through this process, and in early May of 2009, you know, after many conversations with Father Dat, the psychologist, friends, and family members, you know, I had a good idea that I was going to be accepted just based on the conversations. And there was a sadness. And I remember I was at the St. Francis de Sales athletics banquet. It was a Friday night. And after everything was over, everybody left. I was the last person to leave. And I walked out crying. And I cried because I thought, I will never get to coach again. I said, but Lord, and I was saying this to the Lord. I'm like having a conversation. Tears just running down my cheeks. It's like, Lord, if you're calling me this, I trust you and I'm ready to abandon everything for you.
Wow. That's faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is faith. That is awesome, Father. All right. So, closing that door, closing that chapter, opening up a new one, and you're starting to form these friendships. You're starting to bond with your fellow seminarians. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, first at Holy Trinity Seminary, when I got up there, I arrived in August of 2009. You know, they have an intramural football team or intramural sports. And
did you know that at the time?
No, I did not until I got up there. Maybe I'd heard early on, but just it wasn't like, oh, wow, awesome, exciting. But no, it was just like, get up there. And then they say, hey, yeah, we participate with intramurals, with the other students on intramural sports. I was like, okay, great. So, and then we had a good group of, we'd say good recruits that year of seminarians who had athletic backgrounds. And so we won the intramural championship back-to-back years in 2009 and 2010 at the University of Dallas, which was, on the surface, it may not be a big deal, but you're talking about a group of guys, seminarians, studying for the priesthood, beating students who, you know, in their minds thinking, we should be able to beat these guys. And then we beat them back-to-back years. So that's really, I would say, also elevated this idea that, okay, not that I was thinking at the time, but it began to slowly form in my heart. Okay, wow, God doesn't like prevent me. He doesn't like zap the gifts that he gave to me to help other people.
So then you're a big man on campus. Now you're coming back to Houston. Is that right? After 2 years?
Two years
in Dallas.
Yes.
So tell me about the experience here in Houston then.
So I really enjoyed it because I was back here with the friends that I'd got to know prior to entering seminary. So still had connections there, connections with some of the families. Starting theology, and again, we continue to play here at St. Mary's Seminary sports against other seminaries. So initially, it was just San Antonio, Assumption Seminary in San Antonio, and then after a few years, we partnered with Holy Trinity Seminary to start to compete with them. And again, forming those friendships with other seminarians, starting assignments, you know, at, mm-hmm. At parishes, different work, pastoral work to help us in our formation.
Wow. Okay. So now I think we're now finally getting to that point now of, okay, so there's got to be this creation of the pre-seminarians basketball game happening pretty soon during this time period.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question, Dave. So how did the priest versus seminarian basketball game originate? Well, so again, like I said, the seminaries from St. Mary's Seminary and the seminarians from whether Assumption Seminary in San Antonio or right. Holy Trinity Seminary in Irving, we not only would we get to play and play against each other, but we would invite the families that we were meeting in our pastoral assignments and just say, hey, come out, you know, watch us play. And,
okay.
And I remember my, fourth theology, I think they call it configuration now. There were a lot of young families because we realized, and I started to realize, you know, to talk about priesthood, you got to talk about an event or an environment that these kids can relate to,
right.
Which comes to sports.
Right.
So they're probably not going to come to a lecture on Friday night, you know, hey, we're going to talk about priesthood, but they will come to a sporting event. And they'll cheer on their favorite seminarian, favorite priest, or their, you know, LeBron James or Steph Curry or whoever their favorite athlete is.
Right.
But now we could talk about faith through sports.
Sports is your tool.
Sports is my tool. And so that's how the pre-seminar game got started. So we just finished playing Holy Trinity Seminary that February of 2016. And also go back a month, and we just finished playing in the Mundelein basketball tournament up in Mundelein Seminary up in Chicago. 15 to 20 seminaries from the United States all competed. It was pretty awesome, very powerful, a lot of good talent too. I mean, not just guys that, you know, opening their heart up to you know, God's will and God's call, this possible calling to the priesthood, but just like guys being called from incredible athletic backgrounds. I mean, some of these guys played, you know, D2 basketball.
So the big tournament happened. It's probably a few days worth of basketball games. You got great turnout for people watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that probably planted a seed.
Yeah. So all this is now planting seeds of like, how can I use sports as an avenue to evangelize these young people? So then I remember one year earlier, Father T.J. Dulch, who's the pastor at St. Martha's in Kingwood,
right.
When he was a vocation director, and I asked him, I said, Father T.J., what about a pre-seminary basketball game? And he said, Preston, we don't have the young priest right now. You guys would destroy us. I was like, okay, fair enough.
And a big shout out to Father Preston Cantella, Father TJ Dolce, and everybody who helped organize the priest versus seminarian basketball game using sports to plant the seed for a vocation to the priesthood. If you want to hear that whole interview, by the way, we've got it online on YouTube. You can look up Discussing Priesthood with Father Preston. My thanks to David Magianis for doing that interview and UST Max Studios. This concludes Catholic Lunch Break for this week. Until next time, stay Catholic, Houston.
Faith.